Well, I'm glad that you are back or that you're just joining us for this series and you haven't been here last week with us when we kicked this thing off. Because last week we looked at this and we said, hey, there's this thing called this cumulative effect. These things that just keep adding up and adding up and adding up and they bring all this value into our life. And sometimes that value is good and sometimes that value is not so good. That we looked at this and we said, listen, if we could understand this whole idea of cumulative effect, that one of the ways that we could really try to grasp this is by understanding this law of sowing and reaping. That there's this law of sowing and reaping, and when it comes to this law of sowing and reaping, we need to understand that everything that we're doing in life, we're either working for or against us. That everything that we're doing in life, that people, they're either working for us or against us. That there's all these seeds that just keep getting scattered. There's all these seeds that just keep getting sown. And sometimes we sow some seeds very generously. Sometimes we're kind of stingy about what seeds we sow. But we are sowing seeds. And when it comes to understanding this cumulative effect, the law of sowing and reaping, it tells us that you reap what you sow. That whatever it is that we're sowing, whether it's kindness, whether it's goodness, whether it's greed, whether it's envy, whatever it is that we're sowing, that's what we're going to end up reaping. That we're going to receive a harvest of these seeds that we are planting, that you reap what you sow. But see, you reap later than you sow. That's another part of this law, is that you reap later. You don't reap it right away. Sometimes we're kind of going, hey, oh, I need something. I'm going to throw a seed real quick so I can just get that right away. You reap it later. It doesn't come right away because it's one of the laws. We can't change that law. There's no getting around it. You reap later than you sow. And a third part of this law is that you reap more than you sow. So whatever these seeds are that you're throwing out there, whatever you're scattering, whatever you're throwing out, whatever you're doing with your life, there's going to be more of that that's going to come back. And this is why we need to be so intentional about what we're doing and how we're living our life and what we're doing with our life. Because yes, we're going to reap what we sow. We're going to reap it later, but we are going to reap more. There's going to be more of it that's going to be coming our way. So when we look at our lives and what we're doing with them, that this harvest, it's coming. There's this harvest that's coming. And so we looked at this passage of Scripture together last week, and I'm going to refresh you if you were here with us, and if you weren't here with us, I'm going to let you see it because we're going to build on this today. So we were looking in the book called Galatians, this very first book that was written in our New Testament. And if you're trying to look in your Bible and follow along, it's not going to be the very first book in your New Testament because, you know, we decided that'd be too easy to put everything in this order that goes, hey, here's just the timeline, here's how things laid out. And so it's not put in that order. And so Galatians, this very first book that was written in our New Testament, this book that we often refer to as the book that's the charter of faith for Christians. Inside of this book, Paul, he's writing to this church. And as he's writing to the church, a church that he'd visited, a church that he had planted, that he had started this church, he's wanting to make sure that they understand some of these things. And in the very last chapter of this book, chapter 6, he starts sharing this with them. He says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. And he's saying, don't mock God. When we mock God, we're like going, oh, I can do this and it's never going to, nothing's ever going to happen. You're mocking God because you are going to harvest whatever you plant. Don't mock God and say, well, I did this, and I was so good, and I was so good about it, but no good ever came back to me. Don't mock God. Because you will end up harvesting whatever it is that you plant. He goes on, he says, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from the sinful nature. That if that's all you're living for, you're not living for much, because what you're going to get from planting that is this decay and this death. And then he juxtaposes this and he says, but those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. That if that's what we're doing, if we live to please the Spirit, if those are the seeds that we're planting, that there's going to be a harvest and it is going to be an everlasting harvest. See, we're working for or against ourselves. And when you look at this and you're going, okay, so what I'm doing, how is it doing? Is it working for me or is it working against me? Is this harvest that I am getting, is the harvest that's going to eventually come, is it working for me or is it working against me? And yeah, when we see a need, we need to plant the seed and we need to go, hey, that's something that we need. We need to experience this harvest in that area. But it's going to come later. It's not going to come right away. And we need to be patient with it because we're going to get more than whatever we plant. And this law of sowing and reaping, some people, they try to work against it. But you're going to work against it in vain. Because the law of sowing and reaping, it is coming. And so let's not fight it. Let's instead understand it so that we work with it. So that the choices that we're making, the things that we are doing, we go, we need to make sure that we're working because the harvest is coming. And because the harvest is coming, the seeds we choose to plant, they matter. The seeds we choose to sow, they matter. And a seed's not going to grow until it's planted. And so we can't just have it sitting on a shelf and go, oh, I intend to. I kind of think maybe one day I'm going to get around. It's not going to grow until we plant it. And seeds grow best when they're cultivated. When we take the time and we're making sure that we're weeding that area, we're taking the time, we're taking care of it, we cultivate it. And today, we're going to talk about sweating the small stuff. Sweating the small stuff. You know, when we look at our lives, if we really get down into it, what we discover is that our life is shaped so much by the little things. It's these little things that they end up coming in and they dominate our life. You know, so think about it. Maybe you haven't seen somebody in a while and they're like, you walk in, hey, what you been up to? And you sit there and you're trying to tell them something big. You want this grandiose thing to tell them. But all you can think of is all the little things that you've been doing. It's because our life, it's dominated by the little things. That our life, it's defined by the little things. It's just these little things. And we think of these things as so insignificant. It doesn't matter. You know, I had over 25 years ago, if somebody would have asked me, hey, what are you doing tonight? I'd have said, oh, nothing much. I just got this blind date my sister set me up on. You know, I'm just going because, you know, I'm appeasing her. I just thought it was a little thing. And now 24 years of marriage later and two kids, and it's the little things. These little things, they matter. And we've got to get this perspective of understanding that these little things end up defining who we are. That the little things, they end up dominating our life. And yet sometimes it's the little things that we look back on and we know that it's the little things that started to destroy our life. It's the little things. And it's why we need to sweat the small stuff. And I know that there's this phrase, there's this adage out there that says, don't sweat the small stuff. Don't sweat it. And if it's talking about, hey, you kind of stubbed your toe, or it's talking about, hey, you spilt your drink, or hey, you're getting all huffy and puffy because somebody kind of cuts you off. If you're talking about don't sweating the small stuff and just kind of letting it go and just kind of moving past that, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Especially if you're somebody that you're dealing with high blood pressure and you're like going, hey, I don't sweat the small stuff. It's not a big, I get it. But once you begin to understand the importance and the domino effect of the little things, once you begin to understand that it's the little tweaks in life that take you to the higher peaks in life, you begin to learn that, you know what, I need to sweat the small stuff. I need to look at these little things, and I need to be intentional with all of the little things. Because there is a cumulative effect that's happening with all the little things, all the little dots that make up my life. It's all drawing and building, and it's going to tell a story. I love what Coach John Wooden has said. And what Coach John Wooden has said, he says, it's the little details that are vital. Little things make big things happen. It's little things that make big things happen. And so it's why we've got to pay attention. It's why we have to sweat the small stuff. It's why we have to be so intentional with this. Because so much of who we are is seen in how we handle the small stuff. That we all have these idiosyncrasies about ourselves. We all have these quirks about who we are. You know, people will begin to look at us, they'll kind of define who we are by those little quirks. Because it's the little things. It's the little things that define who we are. Christian writer C.S. Lewis, he said this, and it was so insightful. He says, good and evil both increase at compound interest. That is why the little decisions you and I make every day are of such infinite proportions. It's such an important thing, these little decisions, these little choices, the little opportunities. And the little opportunities that they can prepare us for the grand opportunities. The little opportunities, they lead us to the grand opportunities. And it's why the small stuff matters. And it's why we need to sweat it. So we're going to pick up where we left off last week, because last week we just looked at these two verses, Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Today we're going to look at verse 9 and look at the follow-on. And Paul is writing these believers, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. Now, most of us in the room, I would venture to say that we're believers. We understand who Jesus is. We've bowed the knee of our heart, and we've recognized that Jesus is the Son of God, and we've invited him to come into our life because we understand the importance of having our sins forgiven. And we, most of us in this room, we get all of that. But there might be some in the room that you're just not at that place yet. You're going, I've heard about that. Maybe you're going, I'm not really sure even what the significance is. You know, I'm just kind of here because it's a good place morally for me to be able to come and learn some good things. I want to raise my kids in the church because they'll learn some habits. And maybe that's why you're here. At least that's why you think you're here. But see, there's this cumulative effect of when we keep exposing ourselves to God's word, when we keep seeing and understanding God's truth, that there's this cumulative effect that can come in. And when we take those seeds that just keep getting planted, the seeds of God's word, and we let that get cultivated into our life, that there'll be a harvest that will come from that. And Paul, he's looking at this church. He's saying, so let's not get tired of doing what's good. I think I've figured out, I think I've cracked the code on why Paul said this. And it just took a lot of study, a lot of research, a lot of prayer to figure this out. But here's I'm just going to give you the insight. You know, you guys are going to want to write this down. Because we all get tired of doing what's good. We do. We get tired of doing what's good. When we're doing what's good and we don't see results, we get tired of it. When we're doing what's good and we don't get rewarded for it, we get tired of it. When we keep doing what's good and nobody recognizes that we're doing what's good, we grow tired. When we keep doing what's good and there's just nothing showing that there's any good coming from it, we grow tired of doing what's good. See, Paul, he knows that when it comes to our life and who we are and how we live it out, he knows that when it comes to our life that these seeds that we've scattered, these seeds that we've planted, we planted some seeds last week, that we've got to come along and we've got to take some time and we've got to water. We've got to water those seeds. We've got to come along and go, hey, if they're going to grow, if they're going to have their best chance, I've got to cultivate, I've got to work it, I've got to keep coming back. And Paul's saying, hey, don't get tired of this. But see, a lot of times in our life, we're just sitting here and we're just going, yeah, I'm just tired of holding the water. I'm tired of holding down the fort. I'm tired of trying to give it my best. And we do. We just get tired and we're like going, why bother? We get tired. We're going, hey, I got to go fill the can back up. And we get to the point where we don't see any good coming. We can't see the harvest. We want to give up. Let me just take a survey this morning. How many in here, you don't have to confess whether you actually did it or not, whether you gave up or not, but how many in here, have you ever gotten tired of doing what's good? Yeah, we do. We get tired of doing what's good. That it can be exhausting when we don't see the results. And Paul, he's writing to the church because he knows that they question, is the effort worth it? He knows they're questioning this. He knows that we get tired of doing what's good because we question, will it ever be worth it? We question, will it ever really make a difference? Because moments later, days later, weeks later, sometimes years later, we're still not seeing the difference. And Paul is saying, let's not get tired of doing what's good. But he started this with a so. So let's not get tired. What's the so go back to? The so goes all the way back to that when you live to please the Spirit of God, that you're going to reap a harvest, an everlasting harvest that's going to come from the Spirit of God. When you sow your life to say, I'm going to live to please the Spirit, there's an everlasting harvest that's coming. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. There is an enemy. And the enemy is really, he's not just an enemy, he is the enemy. He is known as Satan, aka the devil. And the enemy, he wants to use this law of sowing and reaping against us. That the enemy wants to convince us, hey, you know, just go sow those fun seeds. Just go sow those wild oats, right? Haven't we all heard that? You know, when we're younger, you just got to sow the wild oats. And he's just saying, just go sow those. You know, there's not a harvest that's coming. Don't just go. You're young and just enjoy it now. And for many of us, the older version of ourselves, if we could go back, we would tell ourselves, shelve the wild oats. Don't sow them. Shelve them. Because the harvest came. And Satan, who tried to convince us that the harvest won't come, the harvest won't be bad. Yeah, it was much worse than we'd ever prepared ourselves for. But see, this is the enemy. He also wants to try to use this law of reaping and sowing against us when it comes to us sowing the seeds that are good, sowing the seeds that matter. He's like, oh, don't bother. You know how long it's going to take for that harvest to come? It's not going to be worth it. Don't even bother. And you know what? Yeah, it's going to come later. And sure, okay, there's going to be more. But you know what? The more is not going to be that much more. So don't bother. And he wants to use this against us and try to convince us and get into our minds and get into our head and play with our emotions. See, Paul knew this, though. So as he's writing this in what we now refer to as Galatians 6:9, because when the Bible was written, there was no chapters, there were no verses, it was just all letter. And so there's more to this verse 9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest, a blessing. That at just the right time, well, what's the right time? The right time is God's time. And at just the right time, we will reap a harvest, a blessing. That Paul knows that good seeds, they bring good fruit. That good seeds, they bring good fruit. And once cultivated, they bring a great crop. Don't we all want to harvest a blessing? Don't we all, when we look at these different areas of our life, don't we all want the harvest of blessing? Don't we all want the harvest, a blessing, and a lifelong companion relationship? Don't we all want the lifelong blessing of friendships that last a lifetime? Don't we all want the blessing that comes, this harvest of blessing that we would have, this health and the stamina, what we just want and desire to have in life and have a quality of life? Don't we all want the harvest of blessing when it comes to our finances and where we're at there? That we want this harvest of blessing. And many of us here, that we keep coming to church week after week because we understand the cumulative effect and we want the harvest of blessing in our spiritual life. That we want to be able to know God more, to know God better. We want to be able to really understand the purpose for which we've been created, the reason why God even allows us to be able to walk this earth. And we want this harvest of blessing. And Paul says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good at just the right time. We will reap a harvest of blessing. That the harvest is coming. The harvest is coming, and sometimes we get really excited about the seeds that we've sown, and we get really pumped up. But when we don't see the results, we can quickly become discouraged. The blessing God gives us here lasts a lifetime. That God will give us blessings, and those blessings that he gives us here, at best, they will last a lifetime. But the blessings that we receive in eternity last forever. And I know that if you're like me, that when you're doing that good, that you're wanting to see those results and you want to experience them and live them out here. But really, when it comes to the time at the right time, that God is doing us an eternal favor. When God waits to give us the blessing until we enter eternity. Because it's a blessing that lasts forever. And God's in control of the timing. And so at just the right time, we're going to reap this harvest of blessing. But that's on God's time. And our Heavenly Father, he certainly knows best. And there's five more words that Paul shared in this verse. He says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. If we don't give up. So he's really pushing us and saying, don't get tired. Because what's it? Don't give up. Keep on keeping on. Because we can get discouraged. And discouraged people always defend their discouragement. You ever had a conversation with a discouraged person and you try to help them out and you try to lift them up, you try to show them the brighter side? And what do? They defend like a lawyer. Their discouragement. And they give you all of the reasons of why it still has to be bad, why it could never be good, why the hope is never coming. They defend their discouragement. And we get discouraged. But let's not be defending our discouragement. Let's instead, let's have the kind of faith that we can trust God that the blessing is coming at the right time. That blessing is going to come. Because see, the cumulative effect of a discouragement in our life, the cumulative effect of that is a disappointing life. And so who wants to live to just kind of wallow around in their discouragement? Because all that is, a cumulative effect of that, is a disappointing life. So let's not get tired of doing what's good. Let's trust the creator of all life. Let's trust him with his timing of bringing the blessing back into our life. Because see, we don't see the harvest sometimes. We don't see it soon enough. And when we don't see that harvest soon enough, we get so discouraged. Well, oh, my debt's too deep. I'll never be able to plant enough seeds and to work my way out of this. My marriage, it's too broken. There's no amount of prayer, there's no amount of work, there's no amount of effort, there's no amount of forgiveness that could ever bring it back to a healthy place. My kids, they're too far gone. They're never going to see me as somebody who loves and cares for them. They're too far gone. This discouragement. We can't get tripped up and locked up in our discouragement. We can't go on living our life saying our addiction, it's just too strong. It's never going to be able to be overcome. Because when we look at life that way and we say it's too late for me, we defend our discouragement. We defend it and say it's too late for me and nothing's really going to change in my life. So we need to stop that. We need to turn it around. We need to sweat the small stuff. When we sweat the small stuff, we will secure the big stuff. When we sweat the small stuff, we will secure the big stuff. When we sweat it through, the seeds that we're laboring, the seeds that we're sowing, and we're going, oh, it's so discouraged, I just don't know if it's worth it. Sweat the small stuff. And when you sweat the small stuff, we will secure the big stuff. See, the small stuff grows, and it grows for better or for worse. That those little lies that leave our lips, that little breach in our behavior, that when it comes to who we are and we think of the choices that we make, the tiniest crack in our character, these little tiny things, these small things, we will reap a harvest that will overwhelm us. See, it works for better or for worse. But if we look at the better, and if we were to take this approach and say, you know, I'm going to live life with the monotony of spending moments with my Creator every day. That for us, when we get to the point where we say, okay, the small stuff, it matters. And since the small stuff matters, I'm going to spend a small amount of time every day with my Savior. I'm going to spend some small time inside the Scriptures. I'm going to spend some small time just listening to spiritual songs that get me focused and remember the goodness and greatness of my God. That I'm going to make the choice to carve out some chunks of time to spend with my family and keep my family a priority. These small things, the daily discipline of saying, you know, I'm going to live on less. I'm going to live on less. I'm going to live within my means. And I'm going to trust when God said to give him the tithe and give him this first 10%, that's part of me living within my means. And I'm going to sweat the small stuff with those financial choices, and I'm going to give God my first 10%. When you do this, listen, the harvest comes. The seeds we choose to plant, they matter. And we are going to reap what we sow. We are going to reap later than we sow, and we are going to reap more than we sow. Let's do all we can to sow for the things that matter. To sow for the things that matter in this time, this lifetime, and to sow for the things that matter in the next. I am fascinated by this plant that comes from a little seed. The Chinese bamboo tree. That this seed, that these farmers, that they take and they plant these seeds, that they plant them in fertile soil, that they plant them where they're going to be able to get the sun that they're going to need. They plant them where they're going to be safe. They protect them. And when somebody first signs up to plant the seeds of this Chinese bamboo tree, if they don't have somebody else walking along beside them, if they don't have somebody else sharing with them, this is how it works, this is how it goes, you talk about being able to get discouraged. Because see, once you've planted that seed, you can go a whole year and you've not seen any results. That there's nothing happening. You get past the 2-year mark, and it still looks like day one. That nothing's changed. Years 3 and 4 are like years 1 and 2. And you keep going back and you look and you're going, I know I planted the seed right there. You might even get tempted to go, I'm gonna dig that just to make sure, is this really where I put it? But if you'll keep cultivating, year 5, in a 6-week period, that Chinese bamboo tree grows 80 feet. 80 feet. In 42 days, it grows 80 feet. But really, did it really grow 80 feet in just 6 weeks? No. That years 1, years 2, years 3, years 4, it was growing. It was just all growing below the grade, below the ground. That what it was doing was it creating a root system and a root structure that was going to be able to support the harvest that was coming. And you can't see it in the moment. You don't know all of this growth that's been taking place. It's growth without a harvest, but there's growth. But when you're patient, and when you're persistent and you stick it out, you get to see and experience this incredible harvest. Because the harvest always comes. That the Chinese bamboo tree, it can teach us this important lessons on patience, on perseverance, on faith, on trust. It could teach us so much about life, about our priorities, about development, about potential. There's so much to learn from a little seed that takes so long before it does so much. And that our lives, many times it's the seeds we plant, it's like a Chinese bamboo tree. We don't get to know. There's no human timetable for when we're going to reap the seeds that we sow. But at just the right time, you will reap a harvest of blessing if you don't give up. We've got to sweat the small stuff. We've got to sweat it out. Because the small stuff, it leads to the big stuff. The little stuff is the big stuff. It's just pre-big. But eventually it's going to be big. And so we must sweat the small stuff. It takes lots of little dots. It takes lots of time of planting a seed and letting it grow. It takes lots of attention. It takes lots of cultivating to kindle the relationship in your marriage. It takes lots of cultivating to take that relationship with your kids and to secure it and to grow it. It takes lots of time to grow your faith. and to begin to see and understand God in ways you haven't done before. But it takes this cumulative effect, this consistency, over and over and over. One last passage. It's found in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us think of ways. What are some of the ways that I can be motivating other people to love and to do these good works? And he says, and let's not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his returning is drawing near. Let's not give up. Let's not neglect meeting together. You know, when it comes to going through life, there's two things that we get tempted to do, and that is that we want to go fast and we want to go far. That we want to go fast and we want to go far. But you see, if we're going to be able to go fast, we have to go it alone. But if we're going to go far, we have to do it with others. And far is better than fast. Let's do life, and let's do life, and let's want to go far. Let's do it with other people that are going to come around us. They're going to encourage us, and we're going to encourage them to love and to do these good things with their life, to plant those seeds and to not give up doing what is good, because the harvest is coming at just the right time. A harvest, a blessing is coming if you don't give up. Heavenly Father, you know the people in this room right now that they're just living in give up mentality right now. That they've looked and they've taken some inventory of their life and they're going, it's just not worth it. And they just want to give up. God, I pray that your spirit would stir something inside of them. That it would stir life in them. Your life. And that there would be something inside of them that would be driving them to not give up doing what's good. And I pray that you would give us all the tenacity and the patience, that we would be willing to toil through the perseverance for the harvest of blessing. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.